Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This hour of the Annie Fry Show is sponsored by The Loading Dock. River views, outdoor dining, live music, and overnight accommodations. Visit GraftonLoadingDock.com.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
I can't believe the actual response was, what you're losing here is this great news story about Tony. I thought that was a joke.
Yeah, no, it's kind of a weak pivot, you know. But I think when it comes to Mayor Breed and other Democrats who are in favor of these COVID restrictions, it's the hypocrisy of it, right? It's that if you put in place these rules that they're in favor of, then you have other people who are actually having to behave in a way that they don't seem willing to. And it makes sense in a way why some people aren't willing to if, you know, even the mayor isn't.
Yeah, rules for thee and not for me.
So rules for thee and not for me. That's what we're all sick of, isn't it? And having to get our medical information from Dr. Fauci, who's never seen me personally. Has he seen you? Probably not. We sure do see a lot of him. Do you remember when Dr. Fauci was standing behind Donald Trump? I don't remember. If was this like 2 months in? And Donald Trump was combating with somebody in the press. And do you remember when Dr. Fauci was like trying to swallow a smile? What was that about? I could never decide if Dr. Fauci was as entertained by Donald Trump as we can be from time to time, or if he was just like so mortified to be behind Donald Trump. You remember that?
Yeah, I do. And that was always a question, right? Like, are they actually like respecting Trump as a president, or are they like laughing behind him?
Mm-hmm.
Like, is this funny or is this funny to them?
Yeah, I don't know. He's still there, though.
Right.
Fauci's still standing. Trump is certainly making the rounds. I'm sure that you've heard the mayor of San Francisco and the story of her being at this party. What was the party specifically? Do you guys remember what the party was for? Was it a club?
I think it was a concert.
It was just a club?
Yeah.
She wasn't wearing a mask.
A video shows a maskless Breed neither seated at a table nor positioned at a stationary counter, standing and dancing without any food or drinks in her hand. She also posed for photos while not wearing a mask.
Okay, so just to be clear.
Yes, please be clear.
I was sitting at my table, and when, I don't know about you and whether or not you know who Rafael Saadiq and Dwayne Wiggins are, but I don't know about you, but if you know who they are, I don't care where you're sitting. You're going to get up and start dancing. My drink was sitting at the table. I got up and started dancing because I was feeling the spirit. And I wasn't thinking about a mask. I was thinking about having a good time. And in the process, I was following the health order.
You are an elected leader enforcing these kinds of mandates on your loyal subjects. Meanwhile, people flying into San Francisco are having to strap masks on their asthmatic kids because of some stupid mandate that is out there that exists in the same capacity that you're supposed to be serving under. You just gave us an excuse as to why it was okay for you to do it. But my child has to go to school and wear a mask all day when they're a toddler? Is that the dumbest, most infuriating part of this whole thing? The hypocrisy is exhausting. And the hypocrisy is what makes people angry, what makes people frustrated that we can't make decisions for ourselves that are actually rooted in science. And if the science was real and the science said we had to wear masks and the science is going to save the lives of the people wearing masks, then that two-year-old on an airplane wearing a mask makes sense, except for the fact that it doesn't make sense when the mayor of San Francisco gets to take it off because she was moved by the spirit. Oh, my gosh. I want a T-shirt that says this because I say this all the time. We are not as stupid as you need us to be. And the other question, which is a question that I had to ask myself multiple times over my maternity leave, and it's like my new mantra, what are you going to do about it? Because you could be faced with one instance after the other, after the other, after the other of things that frustrate you, that make you angry, that are unfair, where you feel like you need to shake fists at the sky. Yeah, but what are you going to do about it? I mean, you can shake your fist all day long and nothing happens. What are you going to do about it? What's going to happen to San Francisco Mayor London Breed, who explained, was she talking about the artists at this event?
Yeah. Yeah, she was talking about the artists.
I don't know about you, but if you don't know who Bob Smith is, I don't know who your person is. But if I want to be moved by the spirit at church, potentially, maybe I should be able to go in a church and not wear a mask. Because the Holy Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit is everywhere. I need the Holy Spirit right now. It makes me so angry because it's stupid. It makes me angry because it's insulting your intelligence to be told how you are going to behave about these particular things. And you're told that if you disagree with any of it, that you are against science. Not how science works. It isn't how science works. I also want to employ the Joe Biden whispering thing because he gets away with it. So I feel like when I really want to drive something home at the end, I'll just whisper. It's the creepiest thing ever.
Yeah, it is. But that seems super impactful.
Like, get vaccinated.
Oh, wow, I feel this sudden urge to get vaccinated.
Right? Again.
Again.
I'll take two. Or three or four or whatever it is that they're telling us we need to
have
now.
Keep them coming. Have you heard of people lying to get the third dose?
Mm-mm.
There's a thing where people are lying to get the boosters, like saying that they need them more than they actually need them.
Why?
To cut in line, I guess, to get extra vaccinated. I don't know. This is a real thing. I'll save it for the I have a friend who.
I have a friend who's an idiot. I'm excited about our guest lineup today. Dr. Marty Makary is going to be with us, and we're going to speak with Jim Carafano about the border. It drives me crazy when I book these guests and then, because I book them to talk about one thing and then something else huge happens. And then I'm like, oh, I'm not going to have enough time. We have to pick what we're going to discuss. And with Jim Carafano, we're definitely going to talk about the southern border. Some are calling it an invasion. If you were to look up the definition of invasion on the Google and then look at the pictures of what's going on in Del Rio, Texas, I would say it looks a little bit like an invasion. And nobody's stopping it. I said this yesterday in passing with Mark Cox. The January 6th rally that took place this weekend that 72 people showed up for, that the mainstream media couldn't shut up about last week because of how horrible Republican Americans are. You know, you Trump voters, you. The threat that you were posing to Washington, D.C., the Capitol, this past weekend was so severe that they put up a bunch of fencing and they flooded it with law enforcement. And then not many people showed up. And it was really no big deal. And they didn't cover it because if they were to cover that it was a womp womp, then the idea that there's this big, massive threat out there under the umbrella of Trumpism or MAGA or whatever it is, because they want to boil everything Trump, everything Republican, everything MAGA, everything freedom-loving, American flag-waving, gun-toting, church-going America to the people who were wearing horns in the Capitol on January 6th. I mean, you are the shaman guy. That's you if you want to protect your Second Amendment. That, I mean, that's if they can successfully make it that simple, then who would support that? So that's the constant narrative that anybody who's not with them is a rioter, is a dangerous person and needs to be taken care of. So meanwhile, the federal government walls off Washington, D.C., floods it with law enforcement to protect from the incoming surge of horrible people who will be coming to it. And we have tens of thousands of people on the southern border right now with no wall and limited law enforcement and very little federal attention. It is not the priority of the federal government right now to go protect our southern border. Listen to Secretary Mayorkas.
You've repeatedly stated that our borders are not open, that they're closed. Do you honestly believe that our borders are closed?
Senator, I do.
Well, you're ridiculous and blind. Just imagine if they put as much effort into protecting the southern border as they do to protecting Washington, D.C. from the terrible Trump supporters that they label you and me. It's very sad. And it's very threatening to our future in this country under the unifier in chief, President Biden, who came into office suggesting that he was there to make sure that we could all come together as the, you know, Americans, the grownups that we are, and we could all finally have a discourse among different thoughts and different opinions in this country because Joe Biden was at the helm. It's only gotten more divisive. And this past weekend, while we are being invaded on our southern border, while we do have people crossing the southern border who don't have vaccine cards, they don't have a vax pass, they don't have a responsibility to be tested over the course of the amount of time that they're there and then the capacity. But it really doesn't matter because they're not going to be here long.
People who fly into the country. So if somebody walks into the country right across the river, does somebody ask them to see their vaccination card?
Well, let me explain to you again, Peter, how our process works. As individuals come across the border, and they are both assessed for whether they have any symptoms. If they have symptoms, the intention is for them to be quarantined. That is our process. They're not intending to stay here for a lengthy period of time. I don't think it's the same thing. Not the same thing.
They don't intend to stay here for a long period of time. Oh, I bet they do. I bet. Of all of the things that they planned and packed for that journey, the only thing, the only goal is to stay here as long as possible. And I also know that if I'm going to go to Hollywood Casino Amphitheater, is that what it's called these days? Riverport, folks. If I'm going to go there for a 2-3 hour concert, depending on the artist, I still have to prove that I'm vaccinated. To go there in America as an American. That's what I have to do. If you want to come here from another country on an airplane, guess what? You have to get vaccinated. There are still people in Canada who cannot cross the northern border of our country because of restrictions on travel outside of the country. A law-abiding Canadian cannot come into this country right now, but we have tens of thousands of people underneath a bridge on our southern border, and Jen Psaki, who speaks for the administration, says they're not going to be here very long. We are so not as dumb as you need us to be to pull this off. But my question to you is, what are you going to do about it? Because complaining, I mean, listen, I have a 3-hour radio show. It's my job to complain. I got to fill time. But it doesn't get us anywhere. And I would much rather go back to the days of Donald Trump, where we would wince at the things that he would say, but we would call scoreboard on the things that he would do because he got stuff done. And no, he wasn't there to unite people. He was there to get stuff done. And the people who need to stay in Washington, D.C. in perpetuity don't want to unite people. They just want to consolidate power. And they do that by dividing us. Because if we hate each other, then they get to pick off which ones of us are going to be allegiant to them instead of one another. That's how powerful they are right now. And when the media subsidizes the whole darn thing, we lose around every corner. What are you going to do about it? We're going to speak with a doctor coming up next. Jim Carafano at 110, Roy Murdoch at 125, who's going to talk to us a little bit about what the Democrats have stuck in this $3.5 trillion spending bill that's coming after your medicine cabinet. You might not have heard about this yet. Roy's going to let us in on that, but I want to talk with you as well. Reach out to us on our Facebook Live, facebook.com/Annie Fry Show, the Annie Fry YouTube channel, and now streaming Annie Fry Show on Twitch. If you don't know what I'm talking about, just go to YouTube or Facebook. If you do know what I'm talking about, come join us there and say hello. We'll be right back.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show. The Annie Fry Show is streaming online. Watch us live on YouTube and subscribe.
You know I need you close, oh, but it's always the little things I seem to miss the most. Oh, is that you I walk in, or do I see a ghost? Am I dreaming? Am I wishing? Well, just a little bit of both. Cause I run right back.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thanks for joining us. Happy Tuesday to you. It is getting close to being the end of September. Fall is upon us, and we are excited to spend some of this time here with you. You know, a lot of things continue to develop here on the COVID front. And as they do, we all tend to have more questions than answers when we hear our elected officials talking to us about the latest developments, which is why we work very hard on this show to bring medical professionals on to talk about this issue and get straight to the facts. We bring Dr. Marty McCary, a Johns Hopkins professor, also the editor of MedPage Today, on with us. Doctor, thank you so much for the time today. We were very grateful for it.
Good to be with you, Annie.
So the first thing I want to ask you, especially as the mother of four children, is the suggestion that they're going to push for that emergency use for the vaccine for children 5 to 11. I wanted to get your thoughts on the safety of that vaccine for such young children and mostly the necessity of it.
Yeah, so first of all, if any kid has had COVID, the necessity goes way down, maybe off the charts where it may not even be needed at all. So I think you can hold off if a kid has had COVID for sure. They've been confirmed to test positive. For those kids who have not, if they still have not had the infection, from the availability of this vaccine in November. I would say that you may want to consider one dose. And the reason is that I have concerns about that second dose. It's very close to the first dose, too close for adults and probably for kids too. We have seen myocarditis as a complication develop, a heart inflammation complication clustered after that second dose. And yet the first dose is 100% effective in one Israeli study of kids 12 through 15. So you may be able to get the benefits of that one dose without the downsides of the second.
Let me ask you, you know, maybe it's with the Delta variant or any future variants that might develop over the course of time. We don't see a lot of children dying from COVID, certainly, but they're also not drastically impacted, if they're healthy, the way they are, that individuals are, the older they get. Is it, you're talking about natural immunity there, suggesting that if they have had COVID, that you would put off getting this vaccine. Is there a danger in just letting them get COVID over the dangers that it might present themselves with getting a new vaccine?
So there is a slight increased risk of a tough time for the kid if they just get the infection. The risks are a little higher. We're still talking about a virus that is extremely mild for the vast majority of kids. But overall, if we look at the outcome of, say, hospitalization, and death is such a rare event, you can almost put that aside and not even think about it for a little bit. The risk of going to the hospital sick, which is uncomfortable and it's painful, and nobody wants that, it is roughly 10 times lower in kids that have some immunization. And so that risk does happen. There's about 2 or 3 per million kids who are going to the hospital every week. And overall, we are seeing in large areas 30, 40, 50 kids in the hospital with COVID. And those are vaccine preventable illnesses. And one dose may confer a good amount of protection. It is a personal decision. If people want to wait a little longer, I respect that decision. Pediatricians are pretty good about measuring the risks and benefits.
Yeah, and case specific is something that I think is so important to talk about. We're speaking with Dr. Marty McCary here, who's a Johns Hopkins professor, has been speaking on COVID for quite some time now, and we value your input here. I want to ask you about the FDA approval of the Pfizer vaccine and also, speeding through an emergency approval for it for younger children. What does that mean in medical terms to have this emergency approval? Because the speed with which we've arrived on these vaccines really frightens some people. And I think that fear usually comes from what you don't know. So what do you say towards the speed with which we've had access to these vaccines?
Well, I think, first of all, it's understandable that people have concerns of this rush. And it's unfortunately a big turnoff for a lot of parents when they see that politicians have basically decided that kids will need this vaccine before the trial was even done, before we even got the results. And so that's not the way we should be doing science. And there are missteps, and it's been with the adult vaccine too. But putting all of that aside, is there a real value to the vaccine in children? Well, we have a couple things we can extrapolate. Like in general, when a vaccine is safe in adults, invariably, it's safe in kids when you get the dose right. And the dose is much lower than they originally planned for kids 5 through 11. And that's why I would feel okay with my own nephew and niece getting a single dose. When we get into the second dose, that's when we start opening up a can of worms that's not been well established. So I think there's pluses and minuses, and it's okay at this point to say, look, I just don't feel comfortable with the data yet.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. We're speaking with Dr. McCary here. I want to ask you about a lot of the circles that our elected officials seem to be talking in. It seems as though they can't land the message that can stick with American people in a way that is consistently understandable. Get vaccinated, but then we need the unvaccinated to get vaccinated to protect the vaccinated. What is your response to the push from the federal government or local governments or businesses even to push their employees or constituents to get this vaccine? And if you are vaccinated, are you protected from this virus? Do the unvaccinated pose a threat to the vaccinated?
I don't think so. I don't think the unvaccinated pose a threat to the vaccinated beyond a common cold, with you know, maybe some exceptionally rare situations. But by and large, we would never talk like this about influenza. We would never say the unvaccinated who did not get the flu shot are threatening those who did get the flu shot. And we know the flu shot's not perfect. Well, this COVID vaccine is far more durable and protective against severe disease. And unfortunately, people have an expectation, in part created by public health leaders, that this vaccine was somehow going to be an eradication tool. And it's not. It downgrades COVID from a serious public health threat to a mild seasonal virus, and that's okay. That's the goal. Now, everyone has a different risk threshold. For me, I'm okay getting a mild seasonal virus. But for other people, they're freaking out, demanding a booster, and they have this perception that they're somehow at risk of some infinitesimally small chance of a severe illness, even though they're vaccinated. And that's not a healthy concept.
Dr. McCary, you know, natural immunity is something we've talked about here a little bit, but it seems as though it's something that the people who are talking to us, especially from our you know, local leadership or federal, state, whatever leadership, it seems as though any other message other than get vaccinated clouds their messaging. But I don't really feel like that's a healthy way to treat people who are making medical decisions for themselves. We talk about natural immunity. We talk about other treatments that we can use to protect ourselves. You know, even the lack of attention that was paid to how much obesity played into how this would affect us, you know, early on and as we've gone through and known this virus. Why do you think there is this apprehension to talk about natural immunity or other things that can help protect us from getting it or help us manage it?
It's been a very lazy and intellectually dishonest path for politicians and public health leaders to take. So in other words, an indiscriminate vaccinate everybody policy is simple and it's good for messaging. It's just not very scientifically precise. It turns out that natural immunity is real, it's effective, it's durable, it's 19 months into this pandemic and it's going strong. And the studies now support what many of us have been observing now for well over a year, and that is that we don't see reinfections result in severe illness. We just don't see it. But now there's overwhelming scientific data to support that observation, including a giant study out of Israel that showed that natural immunity is 27 times more effective than vaccines in preventing severe illness and any symptomatic infection. Now, I think a lot of public health officials have been afraid to say that because they're worried some people will just say, well, I'm just going to get the infection then. I don't recommend that. You still want to get vaccinated if you've not had the infection in the past. But it's one of the greatest failures of our medical leadership has been ignoring natural immunity from prior infection. And it was a philosophical debate, and it was something that we argued, a bunch of us argued strongly when we were rationing the vaccine early in the year when we didn't have enough to go around. We said, stop immunizing those already immune. If they would have listened, we would have saved tens of thousands of more American lives. Wow. Well, the argument's not over. Now we see people's lives ruined because they're getting fired from their job or disenrolled from school, even though they already have immunity. It's insane to require immunization of those already immune.
It's such a good point. And your voice needs to be magnified on this issue as somebody who's a medical professional, because it seems taboo to even suggest that. Anything that goes against the everybody must be vaccinated narrative gets squashed awfully quickly. I'm curious of your thoughts and opinions on those people who do have natural immunity, whose jobs, whose businesses are now saying, nope, you do have to get vaccinated. What if they had COVID a month ago and now their job is telling them that they have to get vaccinated? Is there a concern about timing on receiving the vaccine in proximity to having the actual virus itself?
Yeah, having the actual virus itself is like getting one or two doses of the vaccine. And with every subsequent dose or exposure, you sort of magnify the inflammatory response. And that's why people who had COVID sometimes have more side effects from the vaccine. And it may be in teenage boys that we're creating unintended harm because they're at risk of these heart complication syndromes. If they already have immunity, we're subjecting them to a risk that's avoidable with really no benefit to that exposure. So it's massively frustrating. We are seeing the tide turn. You know, I've been out there ringing the bell on natural immunity now for 10 months, wrote about 8 op-eds in major mainstream publications, Wall Street Journal, Washington Post, you name it, going on Fox News almost every day talking about this. I'm talking about it till I'm blue in the face. I feel a moral and ethical duty to do so because there's a groupthink in medicine that's being controlled or navigated by Dr. Fauci. And it's very hard to compete with his opinion. His opinion is just one opinion. It's an old school opinion, and it's been flat out wrong on natural immunity. He knows it, and he's now starting to change his tune on it. I do think we're going to see him change, and therefore the Biden administration change their tune on natural immunity in the coming weeks. It's just getting too embarrassing with the mountain of evidence that has been developing and a lot of public anger out there of those who've been disenfranchised.
Yeah, you're so right on this. And you have been a leader discussing the natural immunity part consistently. And that's why we're so grateful to have you here. Dr. McCary, thank you so much for coming on with us today. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thanks for having me, Annie.
We'll have you again soon. So I love everything about that conversation. And I'm so glad that he was coming on here. We fit him in. He fit us in. Let me make sure I say that right. Everything he's saying there is so common sense. And to suggest, I saw Janet on our Facebook feed, our Facebook live feed here said, what about boys ages 5 to 11? This is one of those interviews you're going to want to go on to the Odyssey app and rewind to the beginning. About 12:25 is when he came on, because that was the first thing that I asked him, because that's the most important thing to me is I have children who are going to be told that they need to get this vaccine. And you have children, you have grandchildren. What if your kids or grandkids have had COVID? Are you going to stick a needle in their arm to give them something that, according to what Dr. McCary just said, that natural immunity is 27 times more potent than getting the vaccine? Hell no, I'm not going to give my kids that vaccine. Maybe in a year, if they've had COVID, maybe in a year, I ask the question again and I stay on it because I don't want my kids to have to suffer in any way. But there's a risk if you do, there's a risk if you don't. If your children have had COVID, why would you give them this vaccine right now? I don't understand it. If they haven't had COVID, I could see where you would look at that scenario and say, this is available. I'm going to talk to my pediatrician and I'm going to see what they have to say about it. And just like everything else, every other vaccine that your children get, you take in the advisement of your doctor that knows their medical history and you make a decision that is best for them. I am not anti-vaccine. But I am incredibly opposed to Dr. Fauci, to Joe Biden, or anybody else who is an elected official who doesn't know my health situation or my children's health situation, telling me that I have to do something basically because everybody's just got to do it. It's not the way it works here. Super opposed to the mandates. Dr. Marty McCary, who is a Johns Hopkins professor, we'll have that up on the 971talk.com Annie Fry Show blog later on today. And if you want to make sure that you hear the whole thing, the easy way to make sure that you get it is to subscribe to the Annie Fry Show podcast. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, Wiggins America, we'll see what he wants to talk about. Jim Carafano at 1 o'clock talking about the southern border, and we'll see if we have time to talk about Afghanistan, specifically the righteous strike, which is what the Biden administration referred to when they were discussing the 10 people that they killed, which includes 7 children in Afghanistan, with a drone. We'll let Jim Carafano go in on that at 1 o'clock and Droy Murdoch at 1:25. You're listening to The Annie Fry Show. We'll be right back.
This is The Annie Fry Show. You're listening to The Annie Fry Show. Interact with Annie on Facebook. The Annie Fry Show.
My proposal is totally different from that approach for 3 reasons. First, my plan is paid for.
It's fiscally responsible because our investments are paid for by making sure that corporations, wealthy Americans, pay their fair share.
Oh, boy. Fair share. There it is again. Go find one of those graphs. They're all over the place. On what 1%, top 1% of earners, they pay, 49% of the taxes?
Yeah, you're on it. It's pretty close. It's in the 40s, for sure.
That doesn't seem fair.
That's not their fair. They're not paying their fair share. You're right. They're paying more.
You know what would be fair is if everybody had to pay the same percentage.
There's a name for that, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
If it's like a flat tax or something? What about a federal flat tax of zero? That'd be pretty fair.
Then we wouldn't be able to pay for anything. Let's get to Wiggins America here.
Wiggins!
Oh! Wiggins!
Am I ready? Are you kidding?
What's the coconut drink called? Pina colada.
Pina colada.
Yeah, you feeling tropical all of a sudden for some reason?
On a beach. I mean, just look at it outside.
It must be the music.
It is that kind of day, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Man, it feels like fall, though. Have you talked about that yet? Fall's here.
No, I'm saving that for the whole 2 o'clock hour.
Okay, we'll talk about fall.
2 o'clock.
All right, so.
There's nothing else for you to listen to then. Just listen to us talk about fall.
Yeah.
Falling leaves, cold air, rainy, gloomy.
Caramel-covered pumpkins.
All 2 o'clock hour. Cinnamon spice. Apples.
So,
they call it teas.
Next year is the midterms. We're a little over 12 months away from that. What do you think? Poll in the room here. We got to do a poll because it's Wiggins America. I got to talk polls.
We're not even talking real polls now. We're making them up.
What do you think is going to be the biggest issue?
We could get like an ill repute establishment to sponsor your poll segment.
We absolutely could. I could start a firm. I could start a polling firm myself.
Did you hear what I said?
Yeah, but I thought you said like get a sponsor to do that.
Yeah.
He definitely didn't hear what you said.
I thought it deserved a little more humor than that, but he's just going with his thing.
No, let's do whatever you said because sounds better now.
That moment is back there.
Okay.
And we're here, so carry on with your
poll. Good thing you can rewind on the Odyssey app.
Shame. No shame.
What do you think is going to be the number one issue that voters vote on in 2022?
I think I know the poll that you're talking about. And I was surprised by it. The number one issue, incompetence. I don't know. Can that be an issue?
Boy, that's pretty broad.
Well, it covers them
all.
That
could be anything. Any ideas, Brad, Trisha?
Yeah. It's the economy, stupid. Mm. It's always going to be the economy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, last time we just voted on who was nicer, right? So,
whoops.
Yeah. Did we? Is that what we did?
That was what we thought we were doing. So, who's the nice guy in the room? I'm going with the economy, too.
Yeah, with the midterms, it usually is. I'm not actually looking. I was polling the room. I wasn't referring to a specific poll on that subject.
Oh.
I'm bringing it up because.
I'm just mad that you didn't laugh at my joke.
Tell it again, I'll laugh.
I can't tell it again.
No, we can recreate that moment.
No, because I specifically chose words that were specifically chosen so that I didn't have to say.
Well said. It was even funnier the second time.
I get it.
It's like 50% of Wiggins America is Wiggins being Wiggins and Annie being Annie.
Yeah, and then trying to wedge in some content.
And we stuff some content.
And then if you throw a poll in here or there.
Yeah, I wasn't referring to any specific poll. I was just polling the room.
I was.
Because the big issue, of course, that we're talking about is this $3.5 trillion spending bill that will, as Stephen Moore said, it was kill the bill, save America? Save our country.
So we're going to practice this. Girls, save our country. Boys, kill the bill. Save our country.
Kill the bill.
There you go. And then you chant back and forth, and you can do that for hours and consider it public service.
Tastes great, less filling. We could do that, too. It's just as catchy, is my point. But this is coming to a head.
Brad, when we have a guest on in the second segment, if I go long on that second segment, then this segment is shorter.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm going to whisper it.
I figured.
Okay.
No, I've noticed that. I've noticed it because I walk out there about 12:40. I'm like, oh, she's still talking, is she? See if she goes to about 12:43 and I'll know what she thinks of me today.
12:52.
Yeah. Wait a minute.
I've got another question for the doctor.
Ryan, that clock doesn't tick fast, but it keeps on ticking. So if you want to get content in, you better get on topic or otherwise.
Well, the whole point of this is just to say that the debt limit is the leverage that Republicans have against this spending bill right now. thank God that that exists. And the stupid idiots, I talked about it last week. Why did they push it back? They pushed back the debt limit to now, you know, at the beginning, before COVID. So all this spending could have been averted, but now we actually have it again, and they have to address it. Pelosi's trying to combine this spending bill with the vote on the debt limit so that McConnell will cave and vote yes on this, but so far he's not going to do
it. I think that McConnell is one of the most savvy politicians to ever grace Washington, D.C. I think Mitch McConnell is the reason Donald Trump got elected, because he was willing to hold up the Supreme Court nomination of, what was his name?
Merrick Garland.
Well done, Brad. He held that up, and he made the election about the Supreme Court, and that sold my vote, and I am very glad that it went the way it went. I don't think Mitch McConnell is going to get hoodwinked on anything, but you might know this, Ryan. Are they trying to get rid of the debt ceiling number? Like, aren't they trying to temporarily, like, eliminate the idea of a debt ceiling? Have you heard that?
So they did that already, actually. Oh. They did that in 2019, thinking, well, they've got a couple years of Republican leadership here, and then that backfired tremendously. So I haven't read anything that says they're trying to permanently get rid of it.
I don't know that it's permanently, but maybe just extend it.
They're trying to extend it again through
big Republican
the end of 2022.
Government spending is bad, just like big Democrat government spending is bad. There needs to be somebody who understands that we cannot spend the money that we don't have, because when I'm doing my family's budget, I don't get to suspend the limit with which my credit card will work and go willy-nilly, but the government gets to do that with my money and your money.
Well,
it's not their money.
You could do it if you had the Odyssey credit card. You could do whatever you wanted, right?
Do you have an Odyssey credit card?
No, I'm just saying, if there's somebody else's money,
Brad,
you just do whatever you want.
Do you guys have an Odyssey
credit? You don't have the Odyssey credit
get
card?
Get out.
What?
Get out,
new
Brad.
Guy.
New guy gets the credit card. I think I'm taking this very personally right now.
Anyway, to summarize this whole thing, if you see news that Trump is trying to oust McConnell, this is probably why. He's trying to make sure that McConnell doesn't cave on this one issue.
What's Trump going to do?
He's just
chase him around.
He's pressuring him. Have
come
you
here,
seen
I'm
that?
Get you.
Give him a nickname.
Yeah. Well, he'll do that for sure.
Cocaine Mitch.
Cocaine Mitch.
Oh, what a weird name for an old guy.
Isn't it? It's not the first thing that comes to mind when you see Turtle.
That's rude, but I get it.
That's where we draw the line.
Yeah.
That's some standard
line. Everything up until then, including everything yesterday about adult diapers. That's all fine. Turtle McConnell's
not okay.
That's
another thing you can check on the podcast. I don't know why you would, but you can. We'll be right back with Jim Carafano.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.